Welcome to Parents' Perspective. I'm not sure if that will fit. Bev held up the shorts from the sale bin and grimaced. It's such a pain buying kids clothes these days. I know, her friend Karen nodded, still rummaging through the piles. I'm now resigned to just getting Dale the chubby pants with only elastic waistbands. Bev shook her head. It doesn't seem so long ago when they were cute little kids. How did they put on all this weight? Well, for starters, Bev sniffed, someone could pay attention to those junk food and soda vending machines in the schools, and the lunches they have in the cafeteria should be illegal. Of course, Kara added, wouldn't it be nice if by middle school kids had a sense of what's healthy food and what isn't, and the willpower to stick with the good stuff? But, Bev reminded her, the good stuff has to be available. From a parent's perspective, how can we help fight childhood obesity through our schools? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has firsthand experience with successful school involvement in fighting obesity. Deborah Seke is known worldwide as the founding godmother of the mind-body-spirit fitness movement. In 1940, she and her late husband, Edmund Seke, founded Rancho La Puerta in Tecate, Baja California, Mexico. In 1958, she alone established the world's premier spa, the Golden Door, in Escondido, California. Deborah then went on to serve on physical fitness councils under Presidents Nixon, Ford, and Reagan. She headed the Inter-American Foundation in Washington, D.C., founded a museum, launched several nonprofit community organizations, and much more, all the while building spas Golden Door and Rancho La Puerta into the premier destination spas in the world. In her private life, Deborah is the mother of two children, Sarah, Livia, and Alex, now deceased, and the grandmother of three. Her personal passions include theater, fine arts, travel, and her extraordinary home garden. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Deborah.
Thank you for inviting me.
Your lifelong focus has been healthy living for adults. Would you explain your plan, Living Skills Fifth Grade Semester for Youngsters?
Yes, I've been involved with school luncheons for over 50 years when my kids went to school, so it's been a while. I've actually been in this business 70 years, so June we'll celebrate our 70th anniversary of Rancho La Puerta. And so I have to give you a little background to be able to sort of tell you how this happened. I wondered why we're so successful at Rancho La Puerta and the Golden Door. I've long wondered, when other people are having all kinds of trouble, our guests keep on coming back, and so many, many have been 30, 40, 50. They come for the week. And we've had three guests at the Golden Door who've been over 100 times, 100 weeks of their life. And, you know, what brings them to make the time? And I realize what we've taught our guests, and these are people now in their 80s who look like 50 and 60. What we've taught our guests is to begin to understand what's going on under the skin. You see, they don't look at calories or this or exercise as something outside. It's all part of the whole person. And they not only respect their body, they know they are responsible for their body. And so they come back because they want to sort of renew, regenerate, because the body is a wonderful, wonderful mechanism. And it renews itself a little less efficiently after you're 60 and 70, but it's always renewing. Its cells are dying. The moment a kid is born, an infant is born, cells die, new cells are born. It's the perfect example of recycling. No waste products, practically. But it really is that they understand, they can picture the liver is a filter. And after a while, it gets less efficient if it gets lots of trash to filter. And the kidneys do their job. And so they learn about the machinery under the skin. Realizing that that really is the success, you know, the source of our success. And seeing the obesity problem and having been involved in school lunches 50 years ago and all along because they have wonderful school lunch programs in our country. There's all the bad ones, but there's a lot of good ones. And watching them and looking at them and checking into them, I realize what's missing is the body. None of the school luncheons mention the machinery. And the kids understand that word. They're fascinated. And so the answer will be, and I have set up something called Living Skills, fifth grade semester. The idea is, and it's still a dream, where I'm working on it, and I'm in Washington meeting people on it. So the idea would be, we would need to do some pilots first to convince everybody. But in the fifth grade, you would do whatever your state board of education requirements. You'd follow everything along. But in the fifth grade, tacked on, and this will be some pilot program, tacked on in every way, shape, and form is the knowledge of the body, the knowledge of, they will learn math, counting vitamins and minerals and calories. They will learn math because they'll learn gardening, they'll learn cooking. It's living skills. So many of their parents today just don't know. It's not lack of will. They don't have the knowledge. They have been raised with all the TV and all the media. And, you know, they don't know, you both do, that a bagel used to be, 4 inches in diameter. The bagel is literally double a muffin. You know, they were little things, 1.5 inches, 2 inches in diameter. And now they're 8 inches.
Plate sizes have gotten larger.
Yeah, they have indeed.
Larger.
The more expensive the restaurant, the smaller the portions is the general rule. But it's just amazing. So the parents cannot help them in this. So therefore, we are going to have the children be the teachers.
Makes sense. There are teachers when it comes to other things.
Well, they did that with cigarettes. The 10-year-old says, "Oh, Mama, I love you." You know, when you're smoking and you get lung cancer or whatever, or they lay on the ground gasping, say, "Mom, you're killing me," or whatever. But it worked. And the fact is, you can walk down the streets and there are not that many people smoking. Mm-hmm. You don't walk in a park and see cigarette butts littered every place or down at the beach. You remember what it was like. The children did that. And I hope that the children, and we will involve the parents in this program, but that the children will understand the machinery, understand nutrition and how important it is, so that rather than fight vegetables, since they will have grown it, it's different. They own it. You know, the vegetables they grow and they cook, they own it. It's mine. That's my carrot. And that's not your carrot. That's mine. That will be the source of the battles.
I think most of the time when you can claim ownership, you feel very good about yourself, and that's a good side effect.
So the idea is that every class will have connected in some way. They'll learn geography, learning where the foods came from. They'll learn history about development of food. I mean, just tacked on throughout the year. It's not something that will be 1 hour a day or 10 minutes a day or 1 week a year. The whole semester would be the knowledge of the body, the knowledge of nutrition and the role, and the knowledge of what exercise does, the need for the body for oxygen. The word exercise, they know, is supposed to do it, but they don't know it's essential.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion with Deborah Seke about fighting childhood obesity through the schools.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Deborah Seke about fighting obesity through the schools.
You're talking about integrating all of this within the curriculum of fifth grade.
Yeah.
And what was it about fifth grade that made you target that grade?
Talk to some school teachers. They'll tell you fifth grade is heaven. The children love school. They love their teacher. They love their parents. They love their siblings. all the different trauma starts in the sixth grade. The fifth grade, they're little angels. I mean, I've interviewed and talked to so many teachers, and that's unanimous.
So who can teach this kind of comprehensive program?
Well, that's why I want to have four pilots. I'm hoping to get some money from Congress. Out of one of these huge bills that President Obama has done such a good job, and the First Lady has been fabulous. She has brought attention. She's opened wide all the doors and the windows. So communication about it is there. And it's going to take a long time until we can get into the food merchandisers and to the food subsidies and all the other problems that makes bad food cheap and good food expensive. But what the idea is that there be four pilots, that the teacher in each of those four pilots, one in each state, be a volunteer and carefully selected. And this selection and everything, I would hope, my dream, is that the Department of Agriculture would select one person for a committee, and the Department of Education another, and HHS another, so that there would be three key people who would sort of help monitor and not run the program.
Supervise?
Yes.
HHS is Health and Human Services, yeah. Right.
We already have developed a manual. We've already developed all the guidebooks. We have all the literature put together. But the teachers, as they implement them, will fine-tune them. And then these teachers who will volunteer will meet every 60 days in the beginning and later every 90 days, in which at each school they would alternate. That would be part of the budget. They would alternate because I'm working with the University of San Diego. I come from San Diego. And they would be doing the research and the checking. But we'll do things like as they begin the fifth grade, and it will have to be students, the parents would have to sign consent and be willing because we want not only to check the students in that particular, that's some 35 kids in each state, their blood pressure, their blood count, their BMI.
Body mass index.
Yeah, okay. Mass index. Yeah, all those little things. But the parents and the siblings as well.
Oh, interesting.
So that every 6 months, and we would check that until ninth grade to see the impact of this education. Did it last? Because we're really talking about eventually going national. I mean, in all the schools, the fifth grade would be focused on that.
So there would have to be a pretty comprehensive way of educating the parent population in whatever the target schools would be that this is a good thing, it's okay, because I can see that parents might feel uncomfortable. They're going to check me. Wait a minute, guys. So there might be some resistance.
That's why it will be valid. In other words, in the school, they will say, we're doing this program. These families, will be these 30, 35 families to volunteer and their child. So, I mean, it is commitment. But they're committing themselves to what can change, make a major change, maybe save our country. Because on the path we are, we will be bankrupt by the health system. Thank God the bill passed. It needs fine-tuning, and that's what they're doing as they implement it. But it really will be the saving for our country.
How do you see this optimum outcome for the students themselves?
I should think, and I would hope, that they will respect and take responsibility for the machinery. And they will know that is theirs to care for. Like growing a plant, you have to water it and you have to have the right amount of sun and the right amount of shade, whatever's appropriate to the plant. They will begin to think there's another element to the thought process. They really don't think about their body. They've never been taught, nor has the parents. And as I go back, the success of Rancho La Puerta and the Golden Door, I really truly believe is that we have taught people to look inside, to think inside. First thing in the morning, I tell our guests, the first thing you do when you wake up, when you're barely awake, is you really wiggle in bed. You wiggle everything. You move and you really greet your body. I mean, you're bringing your body, you're taking your body out of bed and into your day. And that's what I want to give the kids, this feeling. And so it's not for athletics, it's nothing. It's their home. And it's the care and preservation of their home.
Is there a physical education element involved in this semester?
Oh, definitely. The idea is that the lunch period will be an hour and a half, of which only half is lunch. Mm-hmm. The class of 35 would be divided in A, B, and C sections. A would be having a real fitness program, real exercise, calisthenics. B would be in their vegetable garden, working in the vegetable garden for 45 minutes. And C would be cooking. And so they would every week rotate through these things. Then they'd have 45 minutes of eating, dining. You know, in Europe, everybody is free their meals, and not in every country, but for instance, Russia and France. They have tablecloths and linen and china and silver. I mean, it's dining. We have, it's like a machinery. You know, you throw some fuel in. It's like stopping at a gas station and getting refueled. That's all that is when they have 25, 35 minutes for lunch. As they leave the classroom, they stop at the bathroom, wash their hands, and stand in line. And they literally eat in 5 minutes. We're teaching them not to enjoy food and to gobble it. And when you gobble it, it's not satisfying.
So you're teaching them to grow it, prepare it, and appreciate it.
Yes. And enjoy a dining experience. That will encourage them to have dinners at home, seated dinners at home, because they'll have enjoyed this process rather than the snacking dinner.
How does the piece that so many grown-ups and kids fall into of eating when you need comfort for other reasons than hunger fall into this?
Well, we call it the psychological calorie, the complete calorie. That is very key, the complete calorie. That's the whole experience. Actually, for the parent, it starts when she makes her shopping list. She's already beginning to plan the experience. And she is frustrated if she can't have it that dinner where they all sit down, where everyone just dashes in and out. And after a while, she stops preparing dinner and says, oh, there's something in the fridge. No, it's really the psychological calorie is enormously important. And yes, you will, when you're frustrated, eat more because it's soothing. That's why we're against diets, because diets is making you angry. A lot of the time, you're denying yourself. So we're terribly against it. We're talking about balanced and portions. And what we talk about in portions, it begins with the size of the container, the human being. I'm 5 foot, can't be helped. I literally can't eat a regular meal in a regular restaurant. I always just looked at the appetizers. I'll have a salad and whatever else tempts me. And if you're really, really hungry, you eat something. It's much better than try to say, I won't, I won't, I won't, and then you really gorge. But a walk will do very well.
Nice.
And just something to build, something to build your blood sugar, something that breaks the tension. But really, just denying their food, it's denying a reward. It means a lot. So we would rather you have an intelligent snack, you know, an apple and some peanut butter, rather than a Twinkie.
That's where the grocery list comes into. We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion with Deborah Seke about fighting childhood obesity through the schools.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Deborah Seke about fighting obesity through the schools.
How can parents support this movement toward healthy choices for their children's schools?
Well, one thing, we have a lot to be grateful to Mrs. Obama. She has really got a lot of people revved up. And there is a lot of movement being done in the schools, in Congress. Congress is really working on that. And we already have soft drinks, you know, out, which are, you know, 8, 9, 10 tablespoons of sugar, teaspoons actually, of sugar. We're working now on getting rid of chemicals that help create hyperactivity. In Europe, they don't have the red dyes and the yellow dyes and all these things in the food. They can do it in England. They can do all their different things using beet coloring instead of red dye. There's so much good going on, and we really want to put all the good together. There's an energy there, and it's happening. But the body is being forgotten, and that's the difference in my program.
So in terms of what parents might be able to advocate for right now before the program comes to a theater near them, yeah. as they say, what kinds of things would you advise?
There was a, traveling around the United States through the Museums of Natural History, something called Body Works, in which they looked under the skin of the bodies. And there are DVDs available, Body Works. They have to check with the different natural history museums. There's wonderful books. Have the children say, that's the liver and that's the kidneys and that. Have them get an idea of what's going on under the skin. Open the hood of the car and explain, this is machinery. This is a copycat. This filter is a copycat of your liver. This is a copycat of your heart. I mean, the motor is the machine. And you have a machine like that of your car.
Which is really good if you have someone who knows how a car works.
They can guess.
Is there some way that parents should meet within their own schools and lobby for better school lunches?
There is a lot of movement done. And I don't know how much the PTA is doing in that, but at one time they were in the forefront. I saw a class, and there was a bunch of paper on the desks, and all the kids were wearing their dad's shirts, you know, backwards like we used to do. You know, remember when you'd send in a shirt to use as a smock? And they were all intent. Every desk had four kids being really intent with an X-Acto knife. And they were learning how the heart works and circulation. And with an X-Acto knife, they had lamb's hearts that they were separating the arteries. And we're talking about fifth grade. I mean, it was so exciting. And then on the chart, she was showing, she had a blackboard, and she was showing the direction of the blood flow up and teaching circulation. But since there were so many languages there, they were using what they call kit-based learning, in which you learn with things that don't need a language. And so I was looking at this school for kit-based learning. But kit-based learning was learning about the circulation and the heart and everything. There wasn't a murmur. The kids were so intent working with their X-Acto knife. So I went home. I was so keen on this, and I wanted to do this for our men, the Golden Door, to get an idea of what happens with the cumulative effect as they get older of the plaque, what I call the smidgen theory, you know, a smidgen of all these chemicals and pesticides and hormones and antibiotics. I was outvoted by my staff. But these kids, they were learning.
And adults could learn that way too,
yeah,
of course.
But those kids would never forget that class.
I took a class in high school called Biology 2. It was advanced biology, and one of the projects we had was a cat. And I remember I was never heading for medical school, but I was absolutely fascinated at how the inside of the cat's body functioned. That was the only time I've ever seen all the different parts of a body and how they were put together. And to my shock, I really enjoyed that. I really thought it was a very interesting, important learning experience.
And you have the same pieces inside.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, so it's some way or other getting the children and the parents to think of what's going on under the skin and to respect and take responsibility. You have to respect for the magic. This magical thing is you. And be responsible for its well-being.
Well, you have given us a magical time to learn all about the body and learn about a wonderful program that sounds like to help prevent obesity in children. So, Deborah Sakay, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell everything that's not obvious if you can. That's a big help to us. And mention show number 437 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the Evelyn Sachs Trust. Our sound engineer is Clayton Turner. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.